It's time to explore wrestling's past and potential future with your weekly dose of a segment we call What If? Only found here on the WWE Podcast.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast What If segment of the week. Thank you for joining me. And we're going to get to the What If segment of the week in just a second. As you know, the topic this week is What If CM Punk was to return in 2019? And yeah, I had a lot of laughs on Twitter on that, and rightfully so. I understand why people are chuckling at that and thinking it's absolutely impossible, but we're going to take a look at the possibilities and maybe relive some of CM Punk's best moments. So thank you once again for joining me. You can follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast, and typically this segment is restricted to patrons only of Patreon.com, and this week I was a little bit generous, and while the ad-free version is still available on Patreon.com/WWE Podcast, along with, I think, about 40 other audio shows that are ad-free exclusive to the Patreon website, I really wanted to give you guys a bit of a taste of maybe what you're missing over on Patreon. For those of you who listen to my free feed on Spreaker, on SoundCloud, on Stitcher, on, oh my gosh, every week I go through this, but you guys know the deal. Basically anywhere, almost anywhere you listen to music and or podcasts such as iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google, anywhere, really, I'm there. And if you have a moment, please give me a 5-star rating and review. I really do appreciate it. It's a great way to support the show. Everybody, I hope you had a great weekend. As we speak, Raw is still going on. I have not watched any of it. So if you're asking, what do you think about Raw? Well, two things. Number one, I haven't seen it. And number two, this is the What If segment of the week, where we talk about the past of What If and look back, and we look forward occasionally. And in this case, that's what we're going to do, is we're going to look forward to What If CM Punk were to return in 2019. So let's get to it. Guys, there's a lot that you can unpack here with CM Punk. And while it is a dream, a pipe dream for many people, including myself, I don't actually believe that CM Punk will return in 2019. However, we all know that famous phrase in wrestling of never say never. And you can't say ever, never. for CM Punk. I mean, it's the business in which forevers are never really forever. And when you think someone is gone and never going to return, some way, one way or another, somehow that individual does return, whether it's the Hall of Fame, whether it's for a one-off match, or even just a special appearance, a cameo, they always seem to make their way back to WWE. And so, do I think one day we will see CM Punk in a WWE ring for that one elusive final match? You put a gun to my head, I would say yes. Do I think it's going to be in 2019? No. And even if CM Punk did return at any point in the future, you can guarantee it's not on a full-time basis. The man is not a young man anymore in terms of the average age of a professional wrestler. Got a lot of mileage on his body. Still pursuing his MMA deal, and so I don't believe that CM Punk would ever return on a full-time basis, nor should he. He has earned his stripes. He has really cut his teeth in WWE, in the independents, in Ring of Honor. The guy has nothing left to prove. So if and when, I really do believe when, CM Punk does return to WWE, it will be on a big stage. It will be once, maybe one and done, maybe a one and done, or maybe he shows up at the Hall of Fame and people are obligatorily chanting that one more match during his speech and WWE obliges and they give it to them. I don't know, but I think that they would be fools, WWE and CM Punk for that matter, to never just shut the door completely on the chapter of pro wrestling inside a WWE ring. I think it would be foolish to leave that much money on the table. I understand CM Punk's frustrations with the business. Many of those frustrations I have echoed here on the show, of just a controlled environment, a suffocating environment, one in which favors management over talent in terms of health. And I understand, obviously, with the lawsuit that CM Punk won against WWE, that is more evident than just hearsay, right? So, and I went back over this past week, and actually more the past couple days, and I've been listening to CM Punk and Colt Cabana. Remember when CM Punk left WWE? No radio interviews, no television, just radio silence from CM Punk. And then out of nowhere in Colt Cabana's podcast, CM Punk's name pops up. Probably one of the most listened to podcasts of the wrestling world of all time. I'm still listening to it because it's so good. It's so insightful. And it really just sheds light on all of Punk's frustrations. And he never named the doctor by name. He just kept calling him Doc. Smart. I mean, we all know who he was actually referencing. I mean, WWE has one doctor that they use for those types of diagnoses. And backstage at the time, that individual doctor was, in fact, the one on staff. So when he says Doc, I mean, while he's not mentioning the individual by name, the name is implied. But it's just so interesting to hear CM Punk and to hear his frustrations and to get in the mind of what's going on backstage and the real-life tension with him and Triple H and Vince McMahon looking at him as never being that main event guy. And that was the one thing that CM Punk never got to do was main event WrestleMania. Never. And it just stuck in him year after year after year. And you could feel in CM Punk that is the one thing that has just been elusive, that he just cannot get to, and just can't. It's that elusive, ever-moving finish line that Punk was after. So do I think when CM Punk says that he's genuinely done with wrestling, do I believe him? I do. But with that said, there's always the door is never closed and locked and the keys thrown away. Ever. The door is always cracked open, and I would not be surprised to see CM Punk at a WrestleMania. I'm not saying this year's WrestleMania, okay? I'm not trying to create news when there is no news. I have heard nothing. Nothing. But since CM Punk's departure, wow, 5 years ago, right? It had to be almost 4 or 5 years ago now. I think that maybe time, in this case, heals all wounds. And I think it would be foolish to leave that money on the table unless money's not a driving factor for him anymore. I mean, I'm sure he's doing well. But to just close that final chapter, get inside of that 20 by 20 ring, and give that one more match. It's possible. I would say it's possible. More likely than I think most people really believe. So we're going to get into that. And, you know, as I started listening to CM Punk's podcast, Colt Cabana's podcast with CM Punk as the guest a number of years ago, you know, I also started to listen to that pipe bomb that he dropped back in Vegas on June 27th, 2011. And just to give you guys a little bit of a refresher, I mean, I know if you're a wrestling fan, you have absolutely heard this, but it just gives you a little jolt. So so why don't you guys take a listen to this?
I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead, but the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
Now, if you guys remember that, I mean, boy, you know that felt genuine. There was nothing that was fabricated about that. It felt more real than any promo we had seen in years. It was the promo heard around the world. Yes, it was the infamous pipe bomb. And it was essentially, if you guys remember, meant to turn CM Punk heel on his way out, because he started ripping on the fans for standing in the airport waiting for him to sign a piece of merchandise so they can sell it on eBay and make some money instead of going to get a real job. It kind of felt a little bit like a Becky Lynch failed turn. I don't think WWE, I mean, it's been 8 years, almost 8 years since that promo. And whenever they have someone like Punk, like Becky, or like Daniel Bryan when he was turning babyface, WWE just doesn't know how to turn a guy heel, at least to generate real heat. And they don't understand when there's real support and organic support behind a guy that there's nothing they can say or gal to get the fans to hate them. So, but when he's talking about his Vince McMahon, and I don't think that really it's 8 years removed from this, but I see a lot of similarities from what Punk was saying from now until back then. I really believe that CM Punk would still feel this way. I don't think that this is a guy that often changes his mind. I feel like he stands his ground. I feel like he still would stand his ground. And maybe he would tell you, hey, I don't have anything. I don't owe the fans anything. And you know what? Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't. But it would be a hell of a tip of the cap to his fans as a just an official, let's close the book on this chapter. It still feels open-ended. You can say he doesn't owe the fans anything. You can say that he has nothing left to prove. And both of those are true. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't still have that lingering feeling that closure still didn't happen. That's how it still feels. So I just wanted to give you guys a quick little audio clip there and remind you, just because we all remember that promo, and wanted to give you guys a little bit of a taste of it, and as you probably will go and now YouTube it after this. But anyway, so if CM Punk were to return, what if he did? First of all, it would be the biggest pop WWE has heard probably in the last 5 years. Easy. It might rival when The Rock returned on Valentine's Day. I believe it was in 2011, and ended up facing John Cena, obviously. And I really think that it could rival The Rock's return when he hosted WrestleMania. We all remember that. I was actually on a date at the time. Yeah, I was on a date at the time, and I wish I could have taken that date back. Anyway, they'll remain nameless. However, I remember that. I remember seeing The Rock come back. The pop was just, it was, I believe it was in California as well. I don't know if it was the Staples Center. It might have been the Staples Center in LA. And The Rock returned, the roof exploded, and I believe that's CM Punk. If he returned, and it's not in the, somewhere in the Midwest, and it's on a big stage, that the roof would absolutely just explode. I really believe that. And do I think it could be at a WrestleMania? I don't think there's any other place for Punk if he returned for a match, as I just said, than WrestleMania. But if Punk returned in 19, number one, who would he face? Who would CM Punk face in 2019, assuming that he comes to Raw and not SmackDown? Because WWE, whether they will publicly admit it or not, still views Raw as the flagship show. I mean, they say it on air, but I really believe that they believe that. They're not just saying that for storyline's sake. I think they actually feel that way. And so if he was on Raw, I mean, I have a couple guys in mind. A couple. Number one, John Cena. He could pick up right where he left off with John Cena when he dropped that bomb promo and they went on to have a program, and he ended up beating John Cena for the WWE Championship in Chicago at Money in the Bank. It was also a very good match, noted as one of the best matches of the year. And the crowd behind Punk was just amazing, obviously, in his hometown. And so you could jump right in with John Cena, and it wouldn't actually hurt anybody because these guys are both part-timers, assuming Punk returns. Again, assuming, in the what if, right? This is all fantasy and just conjecture and all of that. I get it, but that would be a positive. I mean, both guys, it would both be an attraction match. I think they would both put on a very good match. I don't think either man is programmed or wired in their brains to phone in a match ever. So I believe it would be a hell of a match. The problem with that is, well, both guys are part-time. Neither is the future. Who would benefit from this? It's a quick burn with no long-term benefit. So if John Cena is not the guy, then who is? Who is? Drew McIntyre? Maybe. The problem with that is, I keep going right to the problem, but as I'm thinking about these few select individuals that could go into this with CM Punk, you have Drew McIntyre, who is clearly on the ascension in WWE. I mean, they've got the Rocket Pack strapped to his back at this point, and rightfully so. So for Punk to come in and lose to a guy that is on the rise, I don't know if Punk would... I don't know if he's in the mode of giving back to WWE at this point. So if Punk is a one and done, I don't know if I'd have him lose the match. And I don't think Drew could absorb that. However, if Punk was in a couple of matches, in a series of matches over the year, you could have him in a program with Drew and have it drawn out over the year. Or a several months, maybe Rumble to Mania, have that WrestleMania season only type of feud. And Drew, would be a good opponent for Punk. I really believe that. I think especially the way that Drew's positioned right now. So the other guy I was thinking about is Dean Ambrose. Could Dean Ambrose be the guy if Punk were to return to face him? I think so. Unfortunately, I don't think we got everything that we thought we were going to get, nor that we probably should have gotten from Seth and Dean. There's something that was missing, and I mentioned this in my show last week. Something was missing from this rivalry that just never quite got going. And Dean, I think, would be, in terms of chemistry, I think he would match up very well with CM Punk. I think Dean as a heel is much more comfortable than Dean as a babyface. I feel like Dean as a babyface was always Dean playing a good guy when he really feels the way he feels when he acts as a heel, if that makes sense. So Dean would be, I think, a very suitable opponent for CM Punk as well. That would be, and I think the promos that they would cut on each other, Dean can hold his own. Punk obviously is one of the best ad-lib guys in the business. And once he found his voice in June 27th, 2011, it was just off to the races at that point. So that could be a hell of a match too. And you know, I know that Dean's willing to put the effort in. Punk obviously is too. And Punk is responsible, according to him, for bringing up the Shield. We all know the story. It's in the podcast that he did with Colt Cabana back when the whole thing blew up. And Punk wanted Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, and Chris Hero. Instead, they took Chris Hero and substituted him with the holier-than-thou Roman Reigns. So, anyway, guys, those are my thoughts here. And do I think CM Punk is going to come back in 2019? I do not, okay? Those of you that are laughing, it's never going to happen. Okay, well, duh. I really don't think it will this year. However, I think you would be foolish to believe that you will never see CM Punk in a WWE ring again or on WWE television again. You're a fool if you believe that, flat out. I mean, that's just the way it is. You clearly do not understand wrestling. You haven't been watching probably more than a year. I mean, seriously, if you don't understand how wrestling works over the years, how many guys have swore they'll never come back? They will never come back to the WWE. The product was garbage. The way I was treated, everything about it, the disrespect, or if the wrestler themselves burned the bridge with Vince and it's the other way. I mean, so we've seen it over the years. Hulk Hogan. I mean, how many times has this guy been said that he'll never come back to WWE? Ric Flair at one point too. Ric Flair at one point. Bruno Sammartino. Bruno Sammartino said he would never come back to WWE. Not with the product the way it is, yet he came back. Yes, it's an induction to the Hall of Fame, but it's still back in the WWE picture. He still came back for an appearance. Ivory has said on multiple occasions, and just trashing Triple H. Trashing him, burying him. Just YouTube it, folks. Never coming back. I'm never coming back. Ever. How many guys and gals have said this over the years? It's foolish if you think CM Punk will never come back. And I'll take you one step further. I think you're foolish if you don't believe that CM Punk will have some kind of match before all is said and done. You're a fool. I mean, seriously. And the reason I'm getting a little bit amped up about this is because I had several people just say how stupid this topic was and that it's not even worth talking about. Well, what's not worth talking about, if you ask me, is how long you've been watching wrestling if you don't believe that this is going to happen at some point. So, and one more thing. Well, I got to have a mini rant before I head out here. Some people, and I'll leave it at that because I don't think that they deserve the credit. When I praised Hulk Hogan for coming out and doing a hell of a job on Mean Gene's tribute, gave me garbage. I got to keep this PG. Because that being racist is overshadowing everything, and he should never be forgiven ever for being racist for what he said. Well, really? Okay, so let me get this straight. Somebody who is, say a robber, right? They go in, rob a store, rob a charity that was going to give money to kids for a cancer cure or something. They were going to give it to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. And the guy goes in and robs them, and they have no money to give that hospital. And they go away, and they do, I don't know, a few years in prison for grand larceny. And they get out. Are we supposed to continue to treat that person, you know, or continue to punish them? Where do we draw the line? I don't understand this. Hulk Hogan's comments were racist. There's no question. Does that make him a racist? Does that make him a racist, or does that make you an individual that just doesn't understand how to move on? And the fact that we're just supposed to, what, punish somebody forever? Is that how this works? So somebody does their time, they pay their dues, they apologize, they try to make good on the wrongs that they've done, and yet that's not good enough. No, we need to punish them forever because saying racist comments is the worst thing you can do in this sensitive, this garbage sensitive society. And, you know, here's one very small, guys, I need to be very careful because politics is not something that I like to get into. It's not something that this show is about at all. In fact, it is the opposite of politics in my mind. However, this may or may not be the only time that you hear me talk about a little bit of politics on this show. And that is, here's generally what I think is wrong. This society in general is so sensitive with everything that everybody feels they have a voice. And if there's just the slightest sniff of inequity, oh, that's racist. Everybody is so quick to point to racist, 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 that nobody just stands back and goes, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Wait a minute. How is the outcome of something racist if all in this opportunity were given an equal and fair shot? I'm just not following this. And how are we supposed to judge people that come out and done their time and have paid their dues and got out of prison? I mean, it's the same thing. So I'm trying to tie this back to Hulk Hogan. But the last thing I'll say is, if you guys listen to politics, or if you don't at all, I would highly recommend that you listen to Ben Shapiro. Highly. I'm not paid to say this. This guy is so intelligent. And if you're a really far left, a.k.a. super liberal, extreme Democrat, like far left, you will hate him because he speaks the truth. And just take a listen. He has awesome views on this transgender, all of this nonsense racist stuff that's going on in the world. Love it. All this white privilege that people think exists and they just blanketly say white privilege when in fact it is actually an advantage to be a black person in the United States at this point. But everyone just goes back to slavery. Everything when it's spoken as racism goes back to white on black racism, because that's how it all originated, was slavery, which, by the way, was 150 years ago. 150 years ago. So maybe not even your grandmother's grandmother had to deal with that. So, all right, I'm starting to really get heated. But nonetheless, for those clowns that just can't get past what Hulk Hogan said, it is bad. I don't endorse it. But it was Hulk Hogan being Hulk Hogan, making tribute to a guy that just died suddenly and did a hell of a job doing it and had nothing to do with his racist comments. Do you have any idea what probably half of the men and women say off camera that isn't recorded, that if it was recorded, you'd change your tune in a heartbeat? So to that, I would say, get over it. Get over it and move on. People like to hang on to this and throw stones at glass houses. But if you live in a glass house, guess what you don't do? Fools. Oh, man, I'm on a heated run today. I really am. So, all right. Well, guys, that's all I have to talk about as far as the CM Punk deal. But again, this is normally an exclusive to the patreon.com/WWE podcast, where you can get all of these ad-free and exclusive what-ifs. I will promise you these what-ifs will not be on the free feed very often. So this is a treat to you. You're welcome. And everybody, listen, thank you. I will be back in just a few days after I watch Raw and SmackDown on Hulu. Yeah, I got the 90-minute version, commercial free. It's awesome. So I'll be back then for those of you that want to listen to my full rundown of Raw and SmackDown and hit the high points and low points of the shows. And trust me, this is not just a bitch session for WWE. This is a passionate analysis of the show. It's exactly what it is. It's not just a tagline. It's actually what this is. So, all right, guys, thank you for listening. As always, I'll talk to you next time.